Hey everybody, welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Faith Friday, an episode where we talk about what I'm learning in the Bible, what I'm learning as I'm walking through faith, and a little bit of all of it. So on today's episode, if you're new here, hi, so happy you're here. My name is Madison. I share about different things that I'm learning about life, faith, mental health, addiction, navigating life in your new adulthood, all sorts of things like that on this podcast. And so today's episode, I'm going to share with you guys what I've been learning as I've been reading the Bible. My goal in 2024 is to read the Bible all the way through. So at the beginning, I kind of bebopped around. I would read Proverbs and Psalms. Then I read Daniel, just a couple of different books I was interested in reading. And then I eventually went back and started at the beginning. And I actually now I'm in Deuteronomy, but I want to recap the book of Numbers with you guys. And the book of Numbers is a pretty long book. And the book of Numbers is the entire journey of the Israelite people's path from when they get freed from Egypt, when God parts the Red Sea for them, all the way into when they eventually get to the Promised Land 40 years later. And so this is a really long book. And it starts by talking about how there is a census. God is essentially appointing leaders of each kind of family line. And so through the census, God is saying through this family tribe, this person's in charge, this family tribe, this person's in charge. And he's speaking all of this through Moses. And so Moses is letting people know, hey, here's who's supposed to be doing what. And during the beginning of the book of Numbers, and actually all throughout, God gives a lot of direction in this book. He is teaching the people how to live, what to eat, how to trust him, and that trusting him is the most important. And if you just listen to that and you were how to live, what to eat, what do you mean? So at this point, there's no real laws. The book of Numbers is where the Ten Commandments kind of first start to come about. However, the people really just, they have no laws. They don't understand much. They don't know that they can't eat lizards. So God is literally going through in the book of Numbers and saying hey, you can't eat lizards. You can't eat snakes. You can't eat bald eagles. He's literally telling them, here's the animals you can eat. Here's the animals you can't eat. He is telling them how to live. He's teaching them the importance of Sabbath rest. He's teaching them the importance of work, the importance of treating your neighbor well, the importance of honoring your commitments, the importance of being a person of integrity, all these things that we now know we're supposed to do. God is teaching the people through this book. And so God's giving a lot of direction through Moses and Aaron. God's speaking to Moses and Aaron, hey, here's what I want my people to do. And then they're going and telling the people, hey, here's what God has commanded of you. And the underlying theme in the book of Numbers is that God always has a plan. God is always looking out for us. God always has good intentions. But a lot of times we get so caught up in the waiting game or things not looking how we want them to look that we give up on God. We turn our back on God. We don't want to trust God because that seems like the harder path. And instead we try to make things happen on our own or, do things on our own. And despite the fact that the Israelite people literally had the Red Sea parted in front of their eyes, and then Pharaoh and all his people engulfed into the sea after they made it through, God performed this incredible miracle for these people, and they still, in their 40 years of wandering through the desert, struggled a lot with, is this real? Does God really have a plan for us? How come it's taking so long? Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I misheard. Maybe I'm confused. Even though they saw this incredible miracle, they still struggled with a lot of the things we struggle with today, which is just trusting in God's plan, trusting that God has a better plan for us than we do for ourselves. All of these things that I really have struggled with. And so I really didn't give in to, and I say give in as if it's a bad thing. I didn't really agree to go along with God's plan for my life until probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, sometime new in my journey with sobriety. And I, a lot of times in my life, had been like, hey, God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll go all in with you. You know, I kind of said the hangover prayers, we call it in AA, but I never really meant that I wanted to give God my life. And it was mostly because I didn't trust him. I didn't think that God had a better plan for me than I could have for myself. I thought that if I went with God's plan for my life, it would be boring or mundane, or I wouldn't like it. I didn't realize that God's plan for your life is the most fulfilling and your plan for your life is the most lonely and isolating. And so I slowly started to come to terms with this as I'm in recovery. And finally, I'm like, hey, God, I want to go all in with you. I want to go, you know, completely in. I want to give my life to you. And I'm like, God, I really want to just go all in, live in your, you know, full purpose of whatever you want me to do, even if that's not what I'm doing right now. And since then, my entire life has changed, but in the best possible way. And I've learned a lot about trusting God in the process. And so whenever I first kind of started to go all in with God, I was like, hey, God, I know a lot of times I've said like, I'm all in with you, but like, we both know that I've never meant it, but like, I mean it this time. I want to go all in with you. Please guide my life, help my life. And from that point on is when my life started to drastically change. Okay, so back to the book of Numbers. So God, at this point, as he's, you know, guiding and teaching the people, God calls the people to come together to create a tabernacle, to have a place of worship, to connect with God, and to start understanding this concept of the Sabbath, a kind of formal church setting, like all these things that we have now where we come together and worship. That didn't exist. So God's basically assigning to each tribe, hey, your tribe is going to create the foundation of the tabernacle. Your tribe is going to create the trumpets for the tabernacle. Your tribe is going to create the curtains for the tabernacle, you know, all these different things. And there's so many good reminders in this book that God has a plan for each of our lives and also assigns our step. And this plan is very specific. This plan isn't just, yeah, live in, you know, God's will for your life. This plan is like, if you go back and look at the book of Numbers, God is telling them like how many feet wide by how many feet wide to make this tabernacle. Like God has such a specific plan and such a specific purpose for each and every person's life. If we'll just lean into that, go with that, and not try to take things into our own hands or make things happen on our own. So God spoke through Moses and Aaron to guide the people. And there were quite a few times that the people started to doubt God or started to doubt Moses. And during this period, God is teaching them how to honor their word, how to right their wrongs. God is teaching the people about the importance of rest. He is teaching them about the Passover, and the Passover is a time to rest and a time to worship. And this is another really common theme throughout the book of Numbers, is God is telling the people, yes, there are things I want you to do, but I also need you to rest, to take time for me, for our relationship, to connect and not be so caught up in just always working, producing, but that you're actually taking time out to rest, spend time with family, friends, me, and really just connect. That's such a common theme in this book as well. So at this point, they have been in the wilderness for a little while. And so the people are starting to doubt God and Moses. And so they start complaining. They're like, why did we ever leave Egypt? We should have just died there. How come we're in the wilderness now? And it's so funny because they're like, why did we ever leave Egypt? And in Egypt, they were enslaved people. And God freed them from that. But now they're in this period of uncertainty. And because that period of uncertainty is so uncomfortable for them, they'd rather go back to a normal that they knew that was terrible than keep going through this uncertainty. And I think that's so relatable that a lot of times, like, it's the stereotypical example of like your friend who keeps going back to their ex. Like, they finally get away from their ex and they're like, maybe I should go back to him. I'm kind of lonely. And you're like, what? Why? Don't you remember that one time? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, that is like the people in the book of Numbers. Like, oh yeah, we were enslaved in Egypt. We should definitely go back. That'd be better than, you know, going through the wilderness with God. And really the only reason that they're in the wilderness so long is because they keep not trusting God. And it doesn't say that if they would have trusted God, they wouldn't have been in the wilderness 40 years. But I'd bet you if they had trusted God, they wouldn't have been in the wilderness for 40 years, you know? And so during this time, they really want this old life back, because even though their life there was bad, it was familiar. And so often, you know, this is relatable for us. And so finally they get to a point where they've gone far enough and they're in the wilderness this long because they have to go from Egypt to Canaan. And in this process, there's a lot of people that don't want them to pass through their land. There are a lot of people that they have to go to war with. Like, it's a long process for them to get to Egypt, to Canaan. And so that's why they're in the wilderness for 40 years. But during this time, they finally get to the point that they are going to explore Canaan, which is the promised land. And whenever they go to the promised land, the people in Canaan, they are idol worshipers. They're not living within God's purpose for us. So God is like, hey, the promised land is Canaan, but you have to overthrow the people that are idol worshipers there, and you have to destroy all their idols. And that's what you have to do basically to come into the promised land. Like, you still have to kind of like pass a test or overcome a challenge to get to like this, you know, newfound area. So the Israelite people are like so close, right? And God intends to give them favor and blessing and make sure that they're able to overthrow the people that are there and destroy all the idols and all these things. Like, God has his hand and his protection and his blessing on all these things that he's asking them, but it seems hard. So they doubt him. So they go to explore Canaan, the promised land. They come back, and most people, I think like there's 10 that go, and I think 8 of them realize like, oh, if we went there, we would have to overthrow them. And like, I don't think we can do it. I don't want to do it. So they come back and they basically lie about the land. And they're like, nope, the people there are strong. We could never overtake them. Like, all of this stuff, right? And then then there's 2 people who are like, no, 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 we could do it. God is with us. God's called us to do this. And so what essentially happens is that these people are afraid to come into what God's highest calling is for them, to overthrow this land, to come into the promised land. And so most are afraid, and they say they could never take over the land. There's only 2 that trust God to defeat him and take over this land. And so God at this point gets pretty angry, because he's like, what the heck? Like, I literally send you guys to this. It says the land is flowing with milk and honey, which is like a big deal back in, you know, this time. So God at this point is getting pretty angry that like, he's literally like, I led you here. I'm giving you the ability to overthrow them. And then you guys are lying about the land and trying to like get rid of the people who want to go into the promised land. So God is getting pretty angry with the people. And what happens is the men who spread a bad report about the land, they all died from a plague that only infected them. So that like, there's like 8 men that came back and said, no, the land's not good. We shouldn't go there. We'll be overthrown. They all died of a mysterious plague that only affected them. And there's a lot of miracles and things like that that happened in this book. So God gives Moses the ability to perform miracles, and there's actually time that they're in the wilderness and they're so thirsty, and God gives Moses the ability to spring water up out of a rock, which I think is so, so cool. And there's so many times where God really just shows up and shows out in this book. Another time is as the Israelite people are, you know, going through during this time period, kind of there starts to be like a talk of like, oh my gosh, there's this really powerful group that's going through and through. And at the time, the Israelite people are kind of in like the plains of Moab, and the Moab people are afraid of the Israelites. So Balak, who is in charge of the Moab people, he summons basically like a sorcerer named Balaam and says, hey, I want you to put a curse on these Israelite people so they can't pass through my land, so they won't be like on the outskirts of my land, so my people won't be afraid of them. Like, we need them gone. And Balaam is like, okay, sounds good. And so then God comes to Balaam and says, hey, you actually can't curse those people because those are my people and those people are blessed. And so Balaam goes back to Balak and says, hey, no deal, can't do it because those people are actually protected by God. Those are God's people. So Balak starts to bribe Balaam, and he is doing everything that he can to make this, you know, kind of old school sorcerer curse the Israelite people. But he doesn't realize that the sorcerer literally cannot curse them because they are protected by God. So this goes on for, you know, 4 or 5 times. God comes to Balaam and says, hey, tell Balak you can't do it because of this. And finally, after like the 4th or 5th time, Balaam is able to like go about his way, and Balak gives up on bribing him because he realizes finally that God actually has blessed these people and he truly cannot overtake them. So it then goes into talk about different things God wants them to do with their time. It talks about the Day of Atonement. It talks about the Passover. It talks about the Sabbath. And again, going back to that common thread that there's so much that God just wants us to live in the moment, to worship him, to take time to rest, to take time to navigate through life, not to rush through life, you know, all these different things. And God is so specific about how much time he wants us to spend with him, how much rest he wants us to get, how he wants us to just have worship ceremonies that are to do with him, like all these different things, where a lot of times we think that God just wants us to work, 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 but God also wants us to have fun, to rest, to relax, to worship him, to spend time with family and friends. And you can really, really see that as God is teaching people how to live in the book of Numbers. So as the book of Numbers starts to come to a close, we, at this point, have been reading, you know, 40, 50 pages just on the very in-depth journey the Israelite people go through to get to the promised land, how many times they doubt God, you know, all these things that happen. And then finally, it's like, okay, we're going to give you a summary of how many places these Israelite people were at in these 40 years between Egypt and Canaan. And literally, you guys, the summary is 2 pages long. So right now, if you feel like you're in your wilderness period and God's guiding you to a new chapter, but that new chapter, it seems like you've been wandering around trying to get there for 40 years. It's taking too long. You don't want to trust in God anymore. Like, I get it. And so did a ton of people in the Bible. It's not uncommon to doubt God. However, it is something that you need to do in order to get to that next phase or to get out of the wilderness or, you know, whatever, is just to trust that whatever God has in store is always better for you than what you left behind, and to really trust that God's plan always will bring you to the highest version of yourself. But there will be tests and trials and tribulations, but there will also be blessings and protection and so much that comes with that. So that's really what we see in the book of Numbers. So I'm going to start doing probably maybe every other Faith Friday, I'll unpack a book of the Bible, and the other episodes I will just talk to you guys about what I'm learning or going through in my faith journey. But honestly, it was a long journey. I had no idea that's all that the Israelite people went through to get free from Egypt and to get into the promised land. But now that I've read it, it has been so insightful. So I'll make sure to link like my Amazon storefront in the notes. If you don't have a Bible and you want to get one, I'll link that so you can actually be able to get one primed to you if you want to read along. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Faith Friday. And as always, happy healing, babes. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you loved this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.